Now on the BBC World Service, the fascinating story of The Hungry Generation, a movement of angry young poets in 1960s Calcutta, whose anti-establishment antics struck a chord with American beat writer Allen Ginsberg. India's Beats, The Hungry Generation.
Welcome to Kolkata, the city of auto rickshaws, hand-pulled rickshaws, buses, car honkings, street hawkers and whatnot. It's a city that's bursting with noise and excitement and there's another Kolkata which is slightly submerged. One surprise is that Kolkatans have a very urbane taste in poetry, in literature, and they pride themselves on the fact that they are the cultural leaders in poetry and literature in India. So words become important, thoughts become important, and this perhaps is the reason why Allen Ginsberg and some of the other beat poets chose Kolkata to be their destination in 1960s.
I am Ipshita Chanda and I teach comparative literature at Jadavpur University. The Hungry Generation was a generation of poets spanning the first few years of the 1960s, based mainly in Calcutta, and I think very contemporary in the sense that they were very strident in the way in which they were related to immediate circumstances.
I'm Deborah Baker. I'm the author of A Blue Hand, The Beats in India. A Blue Hand is a book about the trip that Allen Ginsberg and his sweetheart, Peter Orlovsky, took in 1962 and 63 to India. I think Allen Ginsberg really saw in these poets, you know, a version of his younger self, and maybe Jack Kerouac and Lucien Carr, and confused, not really having any money, trying to figure out their way in the world and what their voices would sound like as writers.
Their entire position was extremely iconoclastic, to break whatever was held sacrosanct until then, which included the way in which they wrote poetry and the way in which they lived their lives.
They were firebrands and troublemakers, but they were expressing a frustration that was certainly shared not just with poets, but with the entire generation of frustrated, overeducated young men who had no future ahead of them. The Hungryalists wanted more. They wanted a revolution of some kind.
I think the Hungry Generation was conscious of the fact that, I mean, they were avowedly political. It was a politics of anarchy.
I'm Firoz Basu. My father, Utpal Kumar Basu, is a famous poet. He is a Bengali poet who was a part of the Hungryalist movement in the 1960s in Bengal. And we are at the banks of the Hooghly River, and this is a place called Nimtala Ghat, which is doubles up as a crematorium. There are two wooden funeral pyres which are burning in front of me, and the air is full of smoke, and of course there's a hum of the mourning relatives, and there's also priests who are reciting the funeral chants, and it's a very, very somber atmosphere here. And this is where Allen Ginsberg came with the Hungryalist poets of Bengal in the 1960s to perform poetry.
But he also, in these early weeks in Calcutta, Allen Ginsberg met a young holy man, and it was this guy who introduced him to the burning ghats of Nimtala. And in the night, they would go with the poets that he met to the burning ghat, which is in North Calcutta, where people bring their dearly departed ones to be cremated and have their ashes let go in the Hooghly River. And he would just sit there and watch these bodies fall apart and attempt to get over his fear of death and of dying.
I am Shomir Rai Choudhury. I am co-founder of Hungry Generation. I am 18 years old and still going strong. And I will live for 1,000 years, I hope. Adda. Adda means getting together at a place, mixing freely with people around it. And some people used to recite poems. Those who can sing, they will sing. Those who will recite poems, they will recite poems. Like that. Places we choose, they are those places which are linked up with the rejected one. Say, Nimtala Burning Heart. Nimtala Burning Heart we used to do. What is, after all, a graveyard? A graveyard is people who have been rejected by the universe. We are just singing our song, reciting our poems, and all that.
Tusu, My Considerate Girl, by Utpal Kumar Basu. It cannot be likewise. Either be fully mad or die. This field is meant for sale of men. Here cotton and women get to balance together.
I'm Malai Rai Choudhury. I co-founded the Hungry Generation movement along with my brother Samir Rai Choudhury. Everybody came from slum. At that time they were called untouchables, untouchable Hindus. We are residing in that area. So a lot of people were scared of coming to our areas. So we represented a particular milieu. So we were groomed in a different way altogether.
Here, snakes and scorpions wait together for customers. This house lonely, this body a broken market. Only death would not do. An expenditure for last rites follows.
You can call it elitist. Elitist people confined to a particular language world or their own cultural world, their own behavioral world. They won't belch in front of others. They won't fart in front of others. People who thought they were untouchables, we thought they were not untouchables at that time.
We have lived as some dweller, we know what the some dweller is. Because we have lived there, because we have undergone that process, and through that process I am here like this today. So we must realize that way in terms of life. Not just in a bookish way, this is what we wanted to tell.
And I think that the Hungryalists, they too were very lost. They were hungry, they were angry. It was generally not a very happy city at this time. And many Bengalis were very defensive about the kinds of poverty that was so evident everywhere in the city. What happened with the Hungryalists is they just took this all this dirt from the streets and brought it right into these proper households.
There was partition. Thousands of people were coming. They were living at stations, on the footpath. It was horrible. It was political turmoil also. The chief minister at that time told people to eat raw bananas because rice was not easily available, potato was not easily available. And what happened in literature, these things were not being reflected. So we wanted to change it. Change the course of literature itself.
So, by Shamir Roy Choudhury. Oh, sir, nobody uses the Jadavpur subway for a road crossing. During the night, the aristocratic lunatics sleep there. A passenger queried, "Is the taxi meter okay?" I delivered a counter, "Is the country okay?"
This hungry world was already there. At that time, while working on the philosophy of history, I came across Oswald Spengler, The Decline of the West. Spengler had said that history does not work in one straight line. It is organic, and you can't predict how what will happen in history. And there may be several branches from those lines. And we wanted to tell people that those branches, so far only upper caste people were moving along with those lines. No, there were other branches, like Muslim poets were there. There were poets who were illiterate but carrying on the oral poetry along with them. And these people were not being reflected in the mainstream magazines, poetry magazines or literary magazines. So we had to take a completely different course altogether. And we started publishing these bulletins, writing other types of poems, poems different from them in everything, that is in content, in form, in rhythm, breath span, everything was different from them.
We are now in a quieter part of Kolkata, in Park Circus, where we are actually in a graveyard. In the 1960s, my father would often come here along with his friends, Hungry Generation poets, and have a poem recitals in front of the grave of Michael Madhusudan Dutt, who's considered to be the doyen among Bengali poets. He was born in 1824 and he died in 1873. The Hungry Generation poets were inspired by him, firstly because of his lifestyle, which was very flamboyant. He married twice, he used to drink very heavily, and really wasn't much bothered about what society in those days thought of him. Now, the Hungry Generation poets held some of their addas in this cemetery because they loved the anti-establishment figure that Michael Madhusudan Dutt was seen as, and also because of the shock element. I mean, in the 1960s, having a poetry reading session in a cemetery, I suppose possibly even today, is unheard of and will raise a few eyebrows and people will talk about it. Rabindranath Tagore possibly created the modern Bengali language as we know it, the Shakespeare of Bengal, possibly India. He was a poet, he was a playwright, he performed drama. There isn't anything in art that he didn't do. He was a painter. He took up painting at the age of 60.
Okay, what is the middle class idea of propriety? Dressing in a certain way, behaving in a certain way, using a kind of a language, a polite language. It's being civilized. And the Beat Generation, you know, everything about Allen Ginsberg and Peter Orlovsky, who he introduced to these genteel people as his wife, sort of thumbed his nose at all of that. Also, you know, if you want to look at it in a more literary context, their idea of poetry was a poetry of very fine feelings, of exquisite Bengali language, lyrical images, nature, the countryside, the river boats, the sounds of birds. I mean, it was this beautiful world that Tagore had summoned in his writing.
Gitanjali, 48. The Journey, by Rabindranath Tagore. The morning sea of silence broke into the ripples of birdsongs, and the flowers were all merry by the roadside, and the wealth of gold was scattered through the rift of the clouds, while we busily went on our way and paid no heed. We sang no glad songs nor played. We went not to the village for barter. We spoke not a word nor smiled. We lingered not on the way. We quickened our pace more and more as the time sped by. The sun rose to the mid-sky and doves cooed in the shade. Withered leaves danced and whirled in the hot air of noon. The shepherd boy drowsed and dreamed in the shadow of the banyan tree, and I laid myself down by the water and stretched my tired limbs on the grass.
And And with the Hungryalists, I think there was an impatience with this kind of sensibility. The poets referred to Tagore and his language as a vegetarian language. And they, you know, wanted a language that was earthier and more streetwise. And that was often quite a very raw language. It used coarse words that, you know, would never be seen or heard in a Calcutta living room. And so it was considered shocking and not lyrical and ill-bred.
Wounds by Malai Roy Chaudhary. Awning ablaze with toxic fire above me, I lie watching the winged blue of this crawling sky, putting down the crushing anger of my suffering. I cross-examine my nocturne doubts. Pushing a gramophone needle over the lines of my palm, I scan the prophecy.
So their poetry proudly used that kind of sensibility. And it was really more where they were living. They weren't living in fancy living rooms, you know, with cloth napkins. They were living really close to the street.
The Hungry Generation movement is remembered because, firstly, they were actually looking for a new language that was termed vulgar in those days. And it was unconventional, the way they wrote their poetry. And also for, their antics, which raised a few eyebrows. But nobody can deny the fact that some of the poems written in those Hungry Generation bulletins were extremely brave and extremely bold, if I may use the term. It was some sort of a declaration that conventional poetry, or rather poets who become too conservative and take the side of the big publishing houses, really are not very popular and they should be criticized. So I think it was the statement that they made.
Now, Tagore's Bengali is very different. Very flowery, sophisticated Bengali. There are no sharp edges in his poems. There is no rawness in his poems. There is a lack of flesh and blood in his poems. Lack of testosterone, I should say, in his poems.
If you go to any slum and hear the normal language they speak in the slum, you'll feel that this is obscene. Come to me and stay me for 3-4 days and you'll realize what is the natural language of the life.
Stark Electric Jesus by Malai Roy Chaudhary. Let me sleep for the last time on a bed soft as the skin of Shubha's bosom. I remember now the sharp-edged radiance of the moment I was born. I want to see my own death before passing away. The world has nothing to do with Malai Roy Chaudhary. Shubha, let me sleep for a few moments in your violent, silvery uterus. Give me peace, Shubha. Let me have peace.
Gandhi had said, quit India, which meant that we have to quit everything. Why not quit colonial canons also, canons of literature? That is, we have to identify ourselves with the post-colonial period. Once you are angry, or once you have angst, that is genuine. These are genuine angst, not for writing poems. That is, you count the words and count the syllables and write. Your angst is lost now by that time. We were using expletives, which elite people won't have used at that time, and they won't use it even now. We didn't think we had to write about sex, but it came automatically.
Shubha, ah Shubha, let me see the earth through your cellophane hymen. Come back on the green mattress again, as cathode rays are sucked up with the warmth of magnet's brilliance.
I'm in downtown Kolkata, College Street, which is, in other words, perhaps should be called a book street, because there are thousands of bookstores all around me. Books are everywhere. Books are piled up. Books are traveling by rickshaws. Books are being carried manually by people. And this is the Athens of the East, as it was once called in the 60s.
We are now going up to the coffee house, which has been an institution for poets and thinkers and revolutionaries for decades now in Kolkata. This is where they meet, this is where they have their coffee, this is where they crib about other revolutionaries and other writers and politics in books, and of course they have a cup of coffee as well from time to time. If you want to publish something, if you have a book, if you have a novel, this is where you get to meet editors, small publishers, and also it's not monitored in any way, which is why you can get away saying a lot of things about the establishment and all that. The hungry poets used to meet here, and they would have a separate table, and there'd be other tables where there'd be a journalist's table, there would be a film director's table.
Earlier what happened, people used to have magazines and you require a lot of money for publishing magazines. What we started like handbills, like leaflets, one page leaflets. It was easy, it was very cheap. These were being distributed freely among college students in coffee house, in the newspaper offices, everywhere. Because of the political atmosphere, we had to hurt the politicians and the writers also. Some of the writers who thought that they had the power to say whatever is poetry or how poems should be written.
They sent obscene letters to political figures. They sent engraved invitations to this sort of society matrons, inviting them to partake in a topless demonstration. And, you know, in this way, the authorities completely overreacted.
We are at Bangshal Court. This is a small municipal court, and there are lots of lawyers around sitting with worried-looking clients, and there are also typewriters at work where they're typing various bonds and case documents. And this is where, in 1964, the Hungry Generation poets were presented before the court of law, charged with various offenses such as conspiring against the government and charges of obscenity in their writings.
When I went to my house, it was cordoned off by a lot of policemen with arms in their hands. And my father was flummoxed. He couldn't make out what was happening. He said that these people say that you have written something objectionable, that is why they have come, you have written against the state.
They interviewed many fellows. Gradually, they were after Molloy, because Molloy is the creator. Molloy is the fountainhead of all. So, Molloy wrote at that time a poem known as Stark Electric Jesus. And it's a brilliant poem. Apparently, if you read, you will also think it's a very obscene poem.
There isn't any other way out for poetry except suicide, Shubha. Let me enter into the immemorial incontinence of your labia majora, into the absurdity of woeless effort in the golden chlorophyll of the drunken heart. Why wasn't I lost in my mother's urethra? Why wasn't I driven away in my father's urine after his self-coition? Why wasn't I mixed in the ovum flux or in the phlegm, with his eyes shut, supine beneath me?
I was charged with conspiracy against the state, obscenity. And this went on for a long time. And as a result of which, I was sentenced to one month jail. No, I was suspended from my job. Then I was not being paid since I was suspended. Then I went to High Court. I won the case after 35 months. Then my job was restored. During the court case, I got help from America. Allen Ginsberg introduced us to a lot of people. He wrote to a lot of people in India. In the Hungry Generation, there were about 30 persons, but gradually people started dropping out.
After this, for most of the Hungry Generation poets, including my father, Utpal Kumar Basu,
who discontinued his services in the college where he was teaching, their lives changed considerably. And a lot of the other Hungry Generation poets either lost their jobs or completely changed their area of interest.
Because Hungry Generation is remembered because it has become a cult. The writers have become heroes now in the eyes of the younger generation poets, writers. That is why the Hungry Generation people are being remembered. Other groups who were there at the time, they are not remembered because they were co-opted into the establishment. They spoiled themselves. Hungry Generation anti-establishment spirit is still there. See, even now I get emails and even on Facebook, young people telling me that please revive it and lead the movement. Let us start it again.
Poetry is the ultimate religion. Give away all the religions and take poetry as religion and you see how the world changes. This is what we mean.
India's Beats, The Hungry Generation was produced by Dom Byrne. Poems were read by Rez Kabir. It was a Blakeway production for the BBC World Service. Document.